This morning, I want to talk to you about what fathers need. What fathers need. Here's the answer. Fathers need a strong and solid relationship with their Heavenly Father. When that's right, you'll love God the way He's supposed to be loved. You'll love others the way they're supposed to love. You'll love your wife the way she's supposed to be loved. You'll love your children the way they're supposed to be loved. And you'll love yourself. You'll have the right kind of love for your own life. That's the answer to what a father needs, a strong, solid relationship with the Heavenly Father. Now, I'm going to do something a little different this morning. The scripture I'm going to share is not new. It's very well known. But we're going to look at it a little differently this morning. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer. Now, before I pop it up there for us to read, I want you to think of it in this terms. When Jesus was teaching His disciples to pray, He gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. Simply, this is a way that He wanted His disciples to pray. The prayer that He taught us to pray really focuses on our relationship with God our Father and what God the Father will supply, provide, and do for us. You see, Jesus came to introduce us to the Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I and the Father, we are one. The Bible says He exegeted or He manifested the Father. Simply put, when people looked at Jesus Christ, they were looking at God in bodily form. So when Jesus teaches us to pray to the Father, it tells us a whole lot about the Father. It tells us what we can approach Him for, what we can ask Him for, and also it communicates to us what God the Father desires to do for us. Now, would Jesus, who came to manifest God, to show us the Father, to introduce us to the Father, to lead us to the Father, if He came to do that, then He wouldn't teach us to pray in a way that we're asking God to do something that He's not inclined to do. This Lord's Prayer shows us the Father's heart. Now, if this is the way whom God the Father, and by the way, family was His idea, the Holy Trinity itself demonstrates communion between the Father and the Son by the Spirit. God created man. God created woman. God created, oversaw the first marriage. God oversaw the first family. He set all those things in order. And when Jesus was teaching us to pray, it's a whole lot about who Father is and what He desires to do for us. But also in that, we understand as fathers what we need to do for ourselves and for our families, for our children. Because He's the perfect Father, right? Jesus said it this way, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our family, our children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to those who ask Him? How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? He said in another place. So, Father is our model for fathering. Now, I'm not saying you are God in no ways, but I will tell you, men who are believers in Jesus Christ, you are sons of God. Jesus deserves alone the position of the only begotten of the Father, but you and I have all been adopted into God's family as His sons. He even gave us His Spirit that cries out within us, Abba, Papa, Daddy God, so that we'll know we belong to Him. And I've mentioned that a number of times this year. God wants you to know that you belong to Him. He wants you to know, children of God, who your daddy is. He's a loving, gracious, kind Heavenly Father. He's the kindest Father you'll ever meet. He's the most gracious Father you'll ever meet. He's the most merciful Father you'll ever meet. He is perfect. So let's dive into the Lord's Prayer this morning and apply that on this Father's Day to our lives. Now, I know not everybody in here is a father. We've got fathers in the house. We've got some future fathers in the house. And then we've got a lot of daughters and mothers in the house. But this message is applicable to each and every one of us. All of us have a father. Now, he may have gone on this past Monday, June the 12th, 1996. From 1996 till this past Monday was 27 years from the day that my earthly father went to be with his heavenly father. And I thank God for my daddy. I was in a hotel room in New Orleans, Louisiana, attending the Southern Baptist Convention. I awoke around 4:30 in the morning, and I was alarmed. I knew something was wrong. My dad had been battling leukemia, but everything was going good. He had a good prognosis. But I knew something was wrong, and I sensed that something was wrong with Dad. 20 minutes later, the phone rang, and I was informed that my dad had passed in his sleep and gone to be with Jesus. Later, when I made it back to Alabama and talked to my stepmom, she said, he got on his knees and got about on his knees by the bed, and he said, Lord, I am tired of hurting. I'm in so much pain. Please just let me come on home to be with you. He closed his eyes that night, lying in that bed in a little mobile home just outside of Winfield, Alabama. But he opened his eyes the following day where there were streets ago before the throne of Almighty God. And I thank God for my daddy. He made sure I was in church Sunday morning, Sunday night back in those days, and Wednesday nights. He made sure I was in church whether I wanted to be or not. And a lot of times I didn't want to be there, but I knew I had to be there because my daddy said, you're going to be at church. You see, he understood the scripture says you train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they won't depart from it. And if you did that, you hang on to that word. Amen. So I thank God for my daddy. Some of you may have had good experiences with your dad as well. My dad told me he loved me, as far as I can remember, almost every day that I ever spent with him. When I was growing up at home. And I thank God for that, that he communicated to that. Some fathers love their children very dearly, but never come to the point where they look in their eyes, put their arms around them and say, I love you. I'm amazed at the number of men, grown men, that I have talked through my 40 years of ministry that have told me, I never remember my daddy telling me that he loved me. I knew he loved me. But I never remember him saying those words to me. Be a man. Overcome the fear of being vulnerable. And let your kids know what's in your heart toward them. Don't just assume they're going to do all the math and come up with the right answer. Let them hear you say, I love you, son. Let them hear you say, I love you, daughter. God the Father, the perfect Father, when his son was baptized, which that's a day of celebration, he wanted everybody to know. A voice thundered from heaven saying, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. We would say it this way in our language. This is my son. I love him and I'm proud of him. And Father modeled that publicly. Don't you be ashamed of doing that, or don't be afraid to do that, or don't think that a man don't talk like that. I think Jesus was pretty much a man's man. What fathers need? The Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6:8. Therefore do not be like them, Jesus is teaching. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. That's some kind of father right there. But he does. Look at what Jesus does. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, I recently taught on this on Wednesday night, but we're looking at it a different way this morning. Let's begin to break this down concerning what fathers need. Let's learn from our Heavenly Father. The first thing I want you to notice is about his presence. Jesus said when we pray, we should pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In other words, We know who our Father is. We know where our Father is. And we know what our Father does. When it says, hallowed be your name, that means holy is your name. Honorable is your name. Upright is your name. We know what kind of Father we have. He's holy. He's never going to mistreat us. He's never going to sinfully deal with us. Now, that's our Heavenly Father. So this speaks of His presence. He's approachable. Jesus taught us to talk to Him. We can approach the God of this universe. Why? Because He's our Father. Our Father. Holy Spirit within you, Abba, Papa. God wants you to know that. He wants you to know He is present with you. He is there to help you. He is approachable. He is available. We can live in the same house with our family and still not be available. Well, that doesn't make sense. What do you mean? I'm right there on the couch. Here I am. No, I'm talking about not just physically present, but emotionally available. Spiritually present in the sense that you've got a relationship with God and you're praying, you're asking God how to father your children, how to love your wife and so forth. This is so important because Jesus said, Father wants you to know He is present, He is available, He is approachable, He is accessible. Now, every father needs to have enough steel in his spine for his children to respect him. Spare the rod, spoil the child. So it's not everything goes in our. When you love your children unconditionally, that doesn't mean that you let them do whatever they want to do, go where they want to go, and be who they want to be. No, you're the Father. Our Father doesn't sleep, He doesn't slumber. He watches over us. Whom the Father loves, He corrects. So if He's modeling that for us, He is that to us, then we need to be available, approachable. In other words, we are so connected with those we love, we have a sense of what's going on in their life, and I'll speak more about that in just a few moments from another part of the Lord's Prayer. So this speaks of His presence. I heard recently a pastor tell a story that was a firsthand story for him, but earlier in his life, there was a little boy in the church, and something was going on at church, and a little boy had gone outside to play. He was like a little five-year-old boy. He was out there playing, and while he was playing, a man drove up on a bicycle. And he looked a little bit rough, but he drove up on the bicycle, and he said, hey, come over here a minute. And the little boy came over to him, and the man said, I'm your biological daddy. You're what? I'm your biological daddy. The little boy didn't really understand just exactly what that meant. And the little boy ran back inside, found his grandmother, and said, Grandmother, there's a man out there on a bicycle. He said he's my biological daddy. He had never met him before. And so the grandmother goes out. The little boy runs back out there. The grandmother follows him. And sure enough, there he was. She knew. Yep, that's his biological daddy. And the little boy ran back over to the bicycle and said, so you're my biological daddy. You're my daddy. He said, yes, I am. And he said, here. He reached in his pocket and gave him a $5 bill. And said, now, I'm going to be coming back. We're going to get to know each other. And we're going to spend some time together. And so I just wanted to meet you. And he pedaled away. And at the time the story was told, it had been years. And the little boy had never seen that man again. So a lot of people are having to live with circumstances like that. I wanted to, if that's you this morning, I want to declare over you what the Word of God says, that He is a father to the fatherless. Your Heavenly Father will fill the gap. Maybe you're here as a single mom, and dad's not on the scene. Dad's not being a dad. You need to stand on that scripture too, because He knows your plight. He knows the situation you're in, and He is a father to the fatherless. And men in this church, We need to do a better job when we see children that need a father's attention to demonstrate the love of Christ and to model for young people what it means to be a father, to be a man of God. Because our Father wants us to know who He is, He wants us to know where He is, and He wants us to know what He can do. And that's important. So the Lord's Prayer teaches us that a father's presence is important. You need to be available physically, emotionally, and spiritually. The second thing I want to point out from the Lord's Prayer is His intentions. Because the prayer goes on, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, we begin the prayer acknowledging, "My Father, You're there, You're in heaven, You're holy, I honor You. I want what You want for my life. I want Your will to be done down here as it is up there. I want to know what Your plan, Your purpose, Your path for me is." That's what Jesus is encouraging us to do. And Father will do that. We can know the plans He has for us. They are good, not evil. Plans to prosper us and give us a future filled with hope. We have the assurance that He will work all things together for good because we love Him and we are called according to that purpose. God has a purpose. It's to conform us into the image of His Son Jesus, because Jesus lived a perfect life. He wants us to live the Jesus life here on earth, and He will help us to do so. So His intentions toward us are good. And our children need to know that we're concerned about God's purpose for their life, God's plan for their life, God's path for their life. And we need to guard against trying to tell our children, "You're going to be this. This is what I want you to do." Because sometimes a father who has unfulfilled dreams wants to live his dream through his children. But the best thing that we can do is to teach our children how to relate to Almighty God, their Heavenly Father, and through the Holy Spirit and studying the Word of God, their heart can be awakened to what God's destiny and God's purpose for them is. As much as you love your child, Dad, you still don't love them as much as God does. That's hard for us to understand. He so loved them, He gave His Son for them. And He loves them. He can do for them what we never can. We want to do everything we can do. We want to love our children well. We want to lead our children well. We want to teach our children well. And you know, the truth is, doing the very best we can do, we fail often, don't we? We mess up. "I should have done this. I should have said that. I was too emotional when I did this. I wasn't paying enough attention here. I didn't have enough of my heart in this, or I would have seen this." God, help us to receive from You, Father, what we need to be better fathers. Because the Lord's Prayer tells us that the Lord is concerned about His purpose for our life, His plan for our life, His intentions, His desires, His plan, and His purpose. You know, the Bible says that God was a friend of Abraham. I love having friendship with my children. But we must never allow our desire to be our child's buddy or their friend to take the place of being their father. Because sometimes just wanting to be the buddy, we can hedge on what we need to be sharing because we're their father. Sometimes when there needs to be correction and we don't give it, we can teach them mercy in that. There are other times when there needs to be correction and we fail to give it, not to model mercy, but for other reasons. We can communicate that your choices have no consequences. But a good father tries to be sensitive in modeling to their children and leading to their children. And that's so important. How do our children know if that's our heart? You've got to tell them. I'm praying for you. Hey, the scripture says this. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. You need to teach your children those scriptures that teach them that God will direct their path if they'll acknowledge Him, if they'll follow Him. Listen, the two primary places they're going to learn that is at home and at church. And the church is backing off of this too much in our culture. And the home's backed off way too much. Where are they going to get it? Where are they going to get it? It's your responsibility. Fathers, we got to man up and let our kids know that God has a good plan for their life and how they can discern and discover what that plan is. So that we can see heaven modeled on earth through our lives. The third thing is, give us this day our daily bread. That speaks of His provision. It should go without saying that a good father will provide for his children. We have a responsibility to do that. The Bible's pretty clear on this, that we are accountable to God to make sure our children are well fed, that they're provided for. I think it even goes beyond the bread on the table. It's other needs in their life as well. But also in this, because Father, think of all the things Father orchestrates and brings to pass and blesses so that you can have work that you can exchange for bread and food, right? God's working all of that. So part of providing for our children is also to teach them to work. Our Heavenly Father's working and doing all kinds of things in order to get provision to us. Well, I work hard for my money. Well, yeah. That's the way it is. But where did you get the air you're breathing? Where did you get the strength to do your work? Where did you get the mental acumen to be able to hold a job? It's a blessing of God. It's a blessing of God. It's a blessing of God. So we need to teach our children what work is. And I'm glad, I didn't really enjoy it when my dad was teaching me about it. And my mom. I mean, every week it was my responsibility. I had to make sure the grass was mowed, the coal hopper was filled up every day in the winter. That was a lot of work, bringing 5 gallon, 2 5-gallon buckets of coal in every day. And in real cold weather, 3 or 4 buckets a day. Mowing the grass. How to run a sling blade. For those of you that may not be aware because of your age, that was pre-weed eater days. It's good to teach our kids to work. Amen. It's a good thing. God created us to work. You know, when you've got too much idle time, as it's been said, idleness is the devil's workshop, and it can be. But work's a good thing. A laborer is worthy of his hire. If I was going to have a clean car to go pick Mickey up in, I didn't have a car wash to take it to. I had a water hose and a bucket and a mop. And wash the car. Clean it inside and out. And before I finished high school, I could pretty much take I could go to the hardware store, the lumber yard, and get everything needed and build a house by myself. That's because my dad was a carpenter, but he started carrying me on the job when I was knee-high to a duck, as they say. And I was hammering, and I was nailing, and then hand-sawing, and then he turned me loose with a skill saw. And I'm glad he taught me that. I've used it all my life. But there's something you've got that you can do well that you need to pass on to your children. That's about provision. And the next thing we see, is His forgiveness. Forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive our debtors or those that trespass against us. Now, God doesn't have to ask forgiveness because He's perfect and holy, but Jesus knew we would need this. Now, we as earthly fathers, both sides of this work for us. Learn to ask your children's forgiveness when you miss it. You know, when thermometer goes up too high on your anger and you say something you shouldn't say, or you correct out of anger and you punish instead of correct. Acknowledge it. You know, let me tell you, a strong man, a man's man, someone that knows what it means to be accountable and responsible, it's a man that can acknowledge when he's wrong. Pride goes before destruction, and it's only pride that keeps us from acknowledging when we missed it, when we messed up. Whether it's to our wife, or whether it's to our sons, or whether it's to our daughters, or whether it's to the people with whom we work, who no matter who it is, we need to model vulnerability. Hey, I missed the mark. I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. That hurt you. Please forgive me. I'm owning it. You can park it right here. We have to learn to do that. You're not a man if you can't do that. Not a full man. Because every place that pride reigns is stealing something that you need to be the man God created you to be. So forgiveness. And we can't be grudge holders. Fathers need to know how to forgive. And again, going back to correcting our children, there is a difference between punishing and I've got some of both through the years. And as you've heard me mention, not as much from my aunts and my grandmother and my mama, that for some reason the women were always, and I guess it's because they're the one that was there when we was doing the stuff. Then when Daddy got home, well then, you know, sometimes around two. I mean, young folks, when we grew up and you went to school and you got in trouble, you got a paddling. And when you came home, you got another one. I remember the bus driver pulling over on the, I'm not advocating this necessarily, I'm just testifying. I've seen the bus driver pull over and pull people up to the front of the bus and paddle them on the bus. Now, sometimes there were a few times in my going to school years I saw it done a little too well. I understand that. But I'm saying the bottom line is we've got to teach our children that choices have consequence. And sometimes, you know, we can learn by observation. We can learn by desire. I want to learn. Tell me your life lessons. Or we can learn because it hurts so much we know we got to change. Forgiveness. So important to model forgiveness. Then I want to spend a little bit more time on this one, where it says, and do not lead us into temptation. Jesus said we should ask Father, don't lead us into temptation. Well, we know that God doesn't tempt in that way. Not tempt. He doesn't tempt us to sin or tempt us to do evil. He will allow us to be tempted, and that becomes a trial or a test that he allows us to go through. We know that scriptural because the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil did the tempting, but the Holy Spirit led him to the place where he would be tempted. You and the Lord can talk that one through, okay? But part of the Lord's prayer is, Lord, lead me not in temptation. To me, this has to do with knowing that God knows us. There's no temptation taking you such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But God will, with the temptation, provide a way for you to escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 teaches us this. So that means the devil does the tempting. He wants us to commit evil. He wants us to commit sin. Our own flesh is voting with him. But the Lord will allow those situations to come, so that we will purposely choose his route away from the temptation, his deliverance from the sin. In the middle of being tempted, no, I'm going here. I'm going God's way. He is faithful. He will provide a way to escape. Sometimes it's to flee. But part of our prayer is, Lord, don't lead me into temptation. We have to be aware of our weakness. And we can know that God knows what we can handle. He said, I will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He knows your limitations. It wasn't original with Clint Eastwood. Man's got to know his limitations. No, the Lord knows your limitations. Okay? So, a father's knowing this tells me that it's so important that we ask for the Holy Spirit's help to know our children. We have four children, and they're all very different. And you learn to relate to your child based on who they are, their gifting, their personality, and so forth. Doesn't mean you have different rules for different kids. It means that you learn to recognize how to communicate, and I think this is a lifelong process. You learn how to motivate your children. One thing may motivate a child one way, and another thing motivates them another way. Some children, just a word, and that's all it takes, and they're having to deal with, you know, the displeasure they sense. Some children, words don't work as well. The older I get, the smarter my dad becomes to me. Because when you're young, I mean, Mickey and I, our testimony is she was 18 years old by 3 weeks. And I was 19. And we thought, we get married, we know everything. Oh, we wouldn't have probably been that brash, but we felt like we were well able. And we've been at it 45 years now. I'm just saying, we thought we knew a whole lot more than we actually knew. If I can have just a playback for a moment, I ain't know nothing. And I'm not saying I'm anywhere near arrived yet either. But as I get older, it seems my dad gets smarter, and my dad's been gone for 27 years, but I can appreciate what older people did when I was a young person trying to say, why in the world did they do that? Why will he not let me do this? Why will mama not let me go there? Why don't they want me to have fun? But you realize the wisdom as you grow older. It's the knowing is important. Reminds me of the young preacher. He's real young, had their first child, and by the time that child was 2 years old, he wrote a book, The 10 Commandments of Raising Children. He was so happy had he written his book. Had some more kids. 30 years later, he wrote his second book, The 10 Suggestions of Raising Children. Yeah. Jesus said concerning his sheep, they hear my voice and I know them. Fathers, we need to know our children. One thing that's helped, there's been a number of things, you know, scripturally, but an extra tool that's helped me and Mickey, and also has helped us to help people. Gary Chapman came up with what we know as the 5 love languages. And fathers and husbands, it would serve us well to learn our children and our spouses' love language. This goes back to understanding people. What means I love you to them? For some, affirmation or words of affirmation. Words are important. Sometimes words can do more than buying gifts or anything like that. But just sharing from your heart, as I talked about earlier, it's so important. The illustrations used here around just a simple cup of coffee, how these different love languages would work, like words of affirmation. Your coffee is delicious. In other words, learning to encourage, compliment, and so forth. Acts of service, that's doing something. I've learned that what really cranks Mickey's tractor Betty, you get that mop out and get that floor looking good. You let her round the curb from the living room, walk in the kitchen, see all the dishes washed, put up. You ought to try that. Acts of service. I'll make you coffee. Sometimes that's what means I love you. Now, here's a little inside trick on how to discern what their love language is. Figure out the way they like to tell you they love you. And it took me years to realize, you know, that, hey, I got your lunch fixed, and I did this for you. And then when I came into this teaching, I realized, well, yeah, that's what means I love you to her, because she's all the time doing that for me. And it's like I'm not paying much attention to him. But other things, words of affirmation, physical touch, like, okay, you learn. So acts of service, receiving gifts. For some people, you giving them a gift is a real big I love you. The example with, here's a coffee. You're doing the same thing, but you're surrounding it with the right language. And it means I love you. Receiving gifts. And we've noticed that. We've noticed Andrew, he's a gift giver. I mean, he puts a lot of thought and time. One of the gifts he gave me was a shepherd's staff, and he took the time to carve into it vines with the leaves and John 15 on it. It took no telling how many hours he spent meticulously doing that. You know, and somebody might say, oh, thanks for the stick, you know. But no, the time, the love, and the message on it all, you know, that's a love language. The quality time. Let's go get a coffee. In other words, let's spend some time together. You're modeling that love language. Quality time. All the other things, hey, I just want some time with you. That might be what your children need. And here's the smart thing to do, dads. Let's learn all of these. Let's make sure we're being affirming with our words. Let's make sure we're doing acts of service. Let's make sure we're in giving gifts. You kind of expect it at certain times, but what about those unexpected times? Hey, I was just thinking about you. Wanted to do this for you. Quality time. And then the last one, physical touch. Let me hold you like a coffee. But physical touch. There's power in physical touch. There's been all kinds of studies about babies that were left untouched and the negative impact it has on their health. And I mean appropriately, of course. I mean, we have a lot of huggers around here, but there's some people that need a hug. You know, I never want to hug someone that doesn't want to be hugged. But handshakes, and particularly fathers with their children, giving that hug, communicating love. This is a way that our knowing our children, we can be better dads by learning how they interpret love and make sure that we're doing it in a way that they know, hey, this is Dad saying I love you. That'd be a good project every week. Have I communicated in these ways? Let's move on to number 6. We're almost through. But deliver us from evil. To me, this is about the Father's protection. Deliver us from evil. We are really completely, not completely, but we're nowhere near fully aware of the ways that God protects us. He uses angels. He works through people, protecting us from dangers that we never see. Don't parents do that too? Especially when your children are little and they're learning. They don't even know what'll hurt them and what won't. But parents are all the time making adjustments and doing things to take care and protect their children. I remember when I was about 5 years old, my aunt or my dad's sister called and her pump had gone out. And we lived up on the hill. She lived down at the bottom. And there was a swamp in that area. I grew up on swamp water, just the truth. And it's probably the reason I got a cast iron stomach. But my dad had a pump, and we had to work with him on that all the time, it seemed like. But my aunt called and said my pump went out. So I went with Dad down there, and he opened the door on that little pump house, and a snake fell out. And I remember seeing that snake fall out, and immediately my dad stood between me and the snake, backed me up, got me, set me up on top of the pump house, turned around, and he killed that snake. Daddies do that kind of stuff. As a matter of fact, I thought about that story. That's fathers, we always need to be alert for that. When we see something endangering our children, we want to get between them and whatever snake is trying to get them. And we want to help lift them up to a higher place, a different perspective, and then take care of that snake. You can either let that snake ruin your child's day or your child's life, or you can ruin that snake's day. And again, sometimes when we do this, our children will know, Dad's not being buddy. I don't like him. He's not being my friend. But what you're doing, you're more concerned at that moment about being a father than you are about being their friend. And we're living in a culture where the dangers are coming at our kids everywhere they turn. A generation now is being raised. I mean, listen. If you're a father here today, you raise your little boys to be men. God made that decision in their mother's womb. You raise your boys to be men. God help us that we're living at a time when children are being born. Well, biologically, they're a male, but you'll have to wait and see what they want to be. No, you don't. God's already ordered it. It's already come through. You raise your sons to be men. Enough with this insanity. Listen, this is just the enemy, his deception, his delusion that will lead children into greater darkness. You can't choose against God and come out smelling roses. It's a violation of God's design to inculcate into the mind of a little boy that he's not a little boy. That's crazy. That's insanity. That's delusion. That's demonic. And I know everybody in our culture doesn't like it, but this is one of those things. The Word of God says, in the beginning, He made them male and female. He created them. If God blesses you with a little girl, a daughter, you raise her to be a woman of God. You respect her as a woman. Don't try to turn her into something God never designed for her. Well, I know people that are struggling with that, and you just don't understand. I understand this. It never will work out to choose against what God's chosen for you. Get out of the lab. Get out of the biology. Get back to the Word. If you came out of the womb a girl, you're a woman. If you came out a boy, you're a man. Grow up into that. Don't be robbed of God's best for your life. And listen, we don't need to have hatred, anger, and hostility toward people that maybe are believing this or in the middle of it or even practicing it. They need to know the love of God. They need to know the truth. So we've got to have the wisdom of God and the backbone that we need to stand for truth, but the love of God to try to help bring people into the light, like we sang this morning. If all they get is vitriol and hatred, what about that day when it's starting to crumble and they think, well, maybe I've made a mistake, and how do I get out of this? Will they come to you then? No. But if you've been honest and you've been truthful, and it's been with, hey, I love you enough that I want to share this with you. This is not God's best for you. It's not going to change my love for you. You're made in the image of God. It just grieves me to see you being led astray this way. And you love and you pray, but you stand firm and you have a backbone. It grieves my heart that little boys and little girls, toddlers, walk into a place like Target and see women's bathing suits made for little boys, little girls. Like there's not enough confusion in this world. All this gender identity confusion is not from God. Why? Because in the beginning, God created male and female. He is not the author of that confusion. Don't stake your ground on those lies. And when you go into a voting pool, do not cast your vote for something that is so contrary to God's original design. You become a part of the problem when you do that. Our Father, we're to pray, deliver us from evil. Good fathers will have this kind of heart. I want to deliver my child from evil, not encourage them toward it. When you get time, read Romans chapter 1. Read the whole chapter and you will see what happens to the minds of men and women. You'll see what happens to a culture and a society that turns away from the Creator and worships the creature more than the Creator. Their foolish minds become darkened. They become depraved in their thinking and they get to the place that Isaiah prophesied. They look at evil and call it good and look at good and call it evil. It's a reversal of moral values and virtue, and it's game on right now in the United States of America, and it's being exported to the world. What's the answer? Getting on our knees and talking to our Heavenly Father, learning how we're to live our lives and raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, according to Ephesians chapter 6. This is what fathers need. This is what we need to be doing. Dad, you need to get your little boys. You need to take them hunting. You need to take them fishing. You need to teach them to do men things. What it means to be a man. You may not be a hunter or fisher. I'm not saying you have to do those specific things. But that, I still remember at 4 and 5 years old, my daddy taking me in the woods and teaching me to squirrel hunt. He'd hold that big old 12-gauge shotgun, but he'd let me pull the trigger. And we'd drop those squirrels off up the road to Mr. and Mrs. Vine, and she'd cook them up in dumplings, and they'd eat them. And this blesses my heart to see my children doing those things with their children. I like that bumper sticker. You hunt with your boys, you don't have to hunt for them. That's one good thing about sports. It is something dads and kids can do together, and I think they've gone a little overboard. Last Sunday morning when I went to pick up Pastor Dan at the hotel, the lobby was full of little kids on Sunday morning in their baseball outfits with their parents. Now, that might have just been a one-off for some kind of weekend tournament. But when I was growing up, Wednesdays and Sundays was sacrosanct. It was set apart. Schools didn't intrude on that because they honored God in that. So I'm telling you, the culture's not going to do that for you. You're going to have to make that decision. I'm just saying at the bottom of that, make sure your kids know that God's first. God's first. But families need to do things together. You need to do things with your children. The last thing is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I mean, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, yours is the glory forever. Excuse me. Trying to end too quickly here. This last one has to do with God's authority. End of the day, we answer to the one, the Father. It's His kingdom. We answer to the one, it's His power. We're weak without Him. And it's His glory. We're doing it for Him. But there is a sense far below that, dads, you're an authority in the home. And your kids need to know that. That someone at home has the final say other than them. The tail must not wag the dog. If you understand what I'm saying. Fathers need to be leading. Exercising there. And I'm not talking about in a punitive way. I'm not talking about red face screaming your face kind of a way. But I'm talking about, no, we're gonna do what's right. This is the right thing to do. I know you want to do that, but that's not what we believe. Whatever your family name is, ours will be. You know, we Lawrences, we don't do that. You know, well, other people do, and we love them, and God bless them, but we don't do that because we believe the Word says this. They're not going to know that if we don't paint the picture, if we don't live it, if there's not somewhere along the way sacrifices that they're saying we're sacrificing rather than compromising. Authority. And again, in our culture, we are seeing the chipping away and the undermining of authority. Teach your children, if they're at a ball game or wherever, when that national anthem's being played and that flag's being hoisted up, you teach them to stand there and be still. Put their hand on their heart and thank God for the privilege of living in this nation. You teach them, if they're going to school, that they're going to be well-mannered to their teachers. For me, it was Coach Gibbs, Mr. Sexton, Miss Fowler, and so forth. Mr. and Mrs. That's good manners. We need to teach our children because it's a way of demonstrating respect. You show respect. And I believe that needs to be demonstrated in the home. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. Manners, respect. Because underneath that, it's saying, I recognize this person has authority, and I'm going to honor that authority. We need to do that with those who serve our communities, our police officers, EMTs, fire people. Respect authority. They've been given a charge to help protect and take care of us, and we need to respect that place, that position. Well, some of them aren't worthy. You can respect the office. Ministers, political leaders. It's important that people who have been entrusted with authority, the reciprocal of that is to respect that authority. And God is the ultimate authority. And I read of something, just recently heard of something where at the Los Angeles Dodgers baseball game, where they brought in a drag performance where men were dressed up as nuns and there was a man on a cross and they were doing all of these very evil, vulgar, sexually suggestive dances around the cross. Basically spitting in the face of God, making a mockery of the cross of Christ. I'm glad that so many people refused to go into that stadium. And as far as I'm concerned, that kind of stuff goes on. Let's see. I wish it was all bare bleachers. It's not that important. There are times, I mean, Mickey and I made the decision, there's certain places we're not going to shop. They're going to do that. We're not going to. You do what you want to. I'm not going to condemn. Or there's certain times I feel led to do something. I can do this. If money's what matters to them, well, then, you know, now I'm not going to quit preaching and abdicate what I've been called to do to go do that. But one, there are places you have to determine what hill you're worth dying, you're willing to die on. You know, Pastor Dan and I close with this. He shared with me and a group of us. We were talking. This man that he knew that had done a study, he's called into universities and everything to teach on civilizations, history. He said he had studied the fall of major civilizations through history. He said when it's getting close to the end, when a civilization's going to come to an end, or a nation's going to fall, there will be two things. First thing you'll see, it'll come down to where there's two political parties or two parties that cannot meet together. They are just, you know, if this one says they want it, this one's going to be against it and vice versa. He said the last thing that always happens before it's gone is that society will begin to accept transgenderism. He said this guy's well studied and well recognized and well respected. That his study, that's the one thing he found that all of them had in common before they sunk, is they accepted transgenderism. That's sobering, isn't it? And I'm telling you, the answer is, part of it is men who have a strong and solid relationship with their Father God. The other part is women who have a strong and solid relationship with their Father God. Then you have the bride who's walking hand in hand with Jesus, extending the kingdom. Part of the gospel is people being brought to conviction of sin so that they recognize they need a Savior, and here's Jesus. The pattern of the enemy is to change what sin is, to try to sear the conscience so there's no longer a conviction of sin for those things that the Bible unequivocally teaches are wrong and iniquitous before the Lord. What can we do? We can be the kind of fathers that are modeling our fathering after the Heavenly Father. That's the point today. Now, this could be applied in so many ways, but that's the point today. I want you to stand with me in this room. I want our worship team to come. I want our prayer team members that are scheduled today to come ahead to the altar area. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. It may be there'll be people who need to just come and we'll, if we can keep the altar areas clear where they can come and just kneel at these altars we have and just spend some time with God. There may be some of you who need someone to pray with you. I encourage you to come. And it could be in this audience this morning, there's someone, you're not a Christian. You've never given your life to Christ. We made that confession earlier. We believe that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised from the dead. That's our confession. He's Lord in Christ. You come and confess Him as Lord, believing He died to save you from your sins and reconcile you to Father. We'll be glad to pray with you. Things can be different, and I encourage you. Things can be different much more quickly than you might realize just by repenting and getting things in alignment and in order. I want to be a better father. I believe there's other men here this morning. And listen, we got a lot of good daddies in the house. I'm so grateful for that. But my role is, wherever you are, is to call you up one more step. Until Jesus comes back. That's the way it's going to work, okay? What needs to improve in your walk with the Lord as a man, as a father? Some of you here may have father wounds this morning. When you think, well, if father's like Heavenly Father's anything like my earthly father, I don't want anything to do. No, you can't do that. That's looking at it the wrong way. You got to realize your Heavenly Father is perfect, and He will love you unconditionally. He will forgive you fully, and He will accept you totally. He'll do all of that without ever compromising, and He'll help you, and He'll love you, and He'll correct you in the right way. You'll be drawn to Him when He corrects you instead of wanting to hide from Him. You need healing for your heart. And it could be there's some men, you've got some father wounds, and that's the thing that's hindering you from being a better father. Maybe you need to forgive your earthly father. Why should I forgive him? He's not, no, you're looking at it wrong. You forgive him so that you can be free. So that you can be the father, or you can be the mother, or you can be the child. You see, that's the way it works. Men, we want to look to the Father to learn how to father. We don't want to look at fathers and draw conclusions about who God is. Now, the goal would be for us to be the kind of father that our kids would see the Lord in us. Oh, Lord, help us today. Join me. If you'll put that prayer back up, that slide, please. Of the Lord's Prayer, some of you, if you have not memorized it, we're going to put it on the screen for you. And let's pray this together. This is an eyes open prayer right now. But in view of God as our Father, let's pray this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And Father, I pray right now through the power of your Holy Spirit that you would begin to convict and challenge and change us. May there be a yes in our heart to this word that's gone forth. May there be forgiveness flowing in this room right now. May there be healing taking place right now. And I encourage you just to come right now if you need prayer, or if you just want to come pray, you come right now as we begin to worship. Step out from where you are. Are there others? You come. Just saying a yes to what the Holy Spirit's speaking to your heart. You come right now.
So pull me a little closer. Take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. Because your love is so much sweeter than anything.
Are there others? You come. Special time for you. Healing oil flow into broken hearts here this morning. May the Holy Spirit apply and strengthen the men in this room today. Father, help us to be good fathers. It may mean that some of you need to make a phone call today. Are there some things you need to say if your child calls you today? Be present in your child's life. Are there others? You come. We're about to dismiss, but I encourage you to come. Right now, as the Spirit speaks to your heart, you come. He is healer. He can heal your family. And it may be you don't know where your father is. You may not know who your father is or where he is. Or maybe you know who he is and where he is. But it's not helpful or healthy for you to be around him right now. You can ask God to move in his life so that he'll become the person he needs to become. And you can turn toward your Heavenly Father to give you what you need this morning to help you. Father God, I thank you for this time we've had together this morning. I pray your Holy Spirit would just move in every heart. Oh Lord, bring healing, bring wholeness. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truths in this prayer you taught us to pray, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you're a good Father. You're all, Lord Jesus Christ. Go forth and share Father's love with those who are lost. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Make Jesus known through your life. Let's go change the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Thank you for being here today. This altar is still open if you need prayer. And I encourage you, dads, families, get a photo out there. God bless you.